You want to know what the number one thing that I see ruining relationships is? I'll give you a hint. You're probably holding it right now. It's your mobile device. These little things are absolutely detrimental to your marriage, your romantic relationship. Oftentimes, they're detrimental to the relationship you even have with your children, if you have children. And I want to go over why this is happening, what you can do to stop it, and why, and really understand the psychology of what it does to the people around you. So really, we're going to talk about spotting the problem. We're going to talk about how phones undermine the connection that you have to other people, why, from a psychological perspective, we're addicted to our phones, and then how, of course, to rebuild your relationship beyond that little screen that seems to be glued to your hand. So spotting the problems, understanding phones in relationships and why they're so harmful. Well, first of all, it seems like it's obvious, but it's worth kind of mentioning. They are a continuous distraction. Whether you're checking your stocks or your social media feeds or watching Netflix, there's always something to do. I remember being a child and dreaming one day, because I saw an episode of Dragnet, and dreaming of the day where someone like looked at their watch and can actually watch TV. This is better. I mean, this is a huge screen. It's not this tiny little screen. So you can actually watch, compared to a watch, you can watch a movie on here. In fact, I watch most of my television movies on this phone and have for over a decade. And this is somebody, you're talking about somebody who I went to film school, I was like, I'll never watch something, not unless it's on this big screen. That went out the window super fast. It's so convenient. And there's so much to do on it that we just are constantly distracted. And the truth is that your relationship needs more attention than that. Your relationship deserves more attention than your phone does. And how many of us don't give it? You know, at the end of the week, my phone, it's an iPhone, and it tells me how much screen time I've used, whether I went up or down, and how many hours I've actually been on my phone for that week. I really wish there was some kind of app or some kind of measurement where I got the same kind of alert for how much attention I paid my wife that week, or how much attention I actually gave to my kids that week. Because I think seeing that comparison point of like, this is how much you were on the phone, and this is how much attention you paid to your wife, and this is how much attention you paid to your kids, would really be a wake-up call. So that's the first thing to keep in mind, is it's just a distraction. And you will give your screen time more of a priority over quality time. You're going to prioritize your mobile games, your videos, and oftentimes even your work emails. And work is probably the most difficult to overcome. When I have a couple that comes to see me, or just an individual, and I hear about the phone problems, if somebody's playing games, if somebody's playing Candy Crush, right? It's not hard for the person to say, he's playing Candy Crush, or she's just playing Candy Crush. Just the notion of it seems, juvenile. And the other person goes, yeah, But if the person is a mortgage broker or a realtor, or they are a stockbroker, or they're in a profession where their clients can constantly service them, or maybe they have a boss who's always emailing them because he's a workaholic, or the president of the company, there's a different sense of obligation there that is actually very toxic, not only to your relationship that we're talking about, but also to the relationship you have with your boss or with your clients. You need to have more appropriate boundaries. I mean, my wife is much better at it than I am. I take calls at all hours of night from my clients because I just can't help it. I care too much. And it's a problem. I don't say that kind of tongue in cheek. It is a problem. And many, many couples therapists, many regular psychotherapists and counselors and rabbis and ministers have that problem where they just don't know how to say no. And the phone is the culprit, right? The phone is the way, the access point for people to get a hold of you, whether it's texting, calls, or emails. That is a big problem. And then the other problem is you're going to have social media envy. You're going to inevitably, if you're on the phone long enough, you're going to compare your relationship to the fake curated lives of the other people you see on Instagram, on Facebook. And I mean, because nobody or almost nobody takes a picture of the laundry pile on the floor saying, just another average day in an average life, right? What do we take pictures of? We take pictures of this amazing vacation, or we rented a yacht, or look at what my wife did for me or my husband did for me. And the truth is that that's always the best stuff. And so you're going to have envy because all you see is this perfect life and you're not seeing the reality. So all of those really have a detrimental effect to your relationship. Now, how do they undermine connection? How does connecting with your phone undermine the connection that you have? Slightly different, but obviously related to what we're just talking about. Obviously, there's an emotional disconnect when you have phones, especially if you're doing it on date night. If you're out on a date with your husband, with your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, and you have your phone in your hand, immediately the person's guard comes down. Now, they might not get angry. A lot of us do. I will get angry, right? But a lot, some of us don't get angry. Just that's kind of natural. But what happens if I see you on your phone? I go on my phone. And how many of you, you know, raise your hand, guilty as charged. You take your phone. If you're at a restaurant, you put it face up so you can see the screen on the table. You don't put it in your pocket. You don't put it in your purse. It's there. And sometimes we even have an excuse like, oh, just in case the kids call. Put it on vibrate and put it under your leg. Right? If there's really a call, you could check quickly and then put it back under the leg. What message are you sending to your partner when the phone is face up at a restaurant and anything, even an alert from an app you forgot to delete, is more important than the conversation you're having? It's horrible. And it can lead to jealousy triggers. Right? What's so important that you have to take the phone now? There's either a real or an imagined threat there in the relationship. You got to be careful, especially if you have someone who has a propensity to jealousy. If you overuse and you're addicted to your phone, just like everybody, myself included, by the way, a lot of this I'm telling for myself, and I'm just, you know, if you're listening along, you know, it's helpful. But if you have a propensity to jealousy or your partner does, it's going to hurt. It's going to sting. And if the phone's on the table, or if the phone is close by, or if there's a fear that you're going to answer the phone or need to rush back to it, it's going to decrease the warmth and the intimacy. You will not have the same level of depth in your communication. You won't have the meaningful conversations because someone feels like they're going to get cut off or they're not a priority. And what is a priority? Candy Crush or work emails. And that's sad. Now, why psychologically are we in this state? Well, there's the fear of missing out. People are often on their phones because they have FOMO. They're like, oh, what's next? Where's the next party? Maybe there's a text chain that my whole family's on. I want to make sure I comment or I got to react because I feel like if I don't hit that little heart button on somebody's text message, they'll feel like I'm ignoring them. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. You need to understand that everybody's lives has ups. They have downs. And having a boring life or a somewhat boring life is a blessing. I mean, compare yourself to people in war zones. They have exciting lives. They're terrifying, yes, but they're also full of excitement because they need it for. Boring lives are okay. It's okay to be a little boring from time to time. It means that you have a stable, predictable life. And the thing you're missing out on probably is going to cause more harm than good in most cases. So don't have the FOMO. Try not to stay connected to all the updates and all the events that are happening in your life. Another reason is the work culture. I mean, America is very different in its approach to work than other continents, right? Europe, they have siestas. There's an idea of work-life balance in many countries in Europe. In America, not so much, right? The American dream, this manifest destiny we all have that we've, especially if you were born here, but even if you weren't born, if you immigrated here specifically for work, you're going to have it even more than someone who's a natural born citizen. It's this sense of more, you know? And it's amazing how even when you have more, the question is, how do I get even more? Right? So if I gave you $100 million or billion or $10 billion, what would you do with it? For most entrepreneurs, the first thing out of their mouth was, I would invest it in this. So I'll give you all the money you ever need. And your answer is to then make more. You have to have realistic expectations of what you need and want in your life. Now, sometimes, you know, your work, you're just barely getting by, but there's this idea that you're always available, right? Someone gives you a 5% or a 10% raise, or you get a new client and you're charging them more than you ever have before. And so you feel beholden to them. And that's not healthy. You need to learn where to put those boundaries. So that workplace culture is a big, you know, psychological problem as to why we can't divorce ourselves from the phone. And then the last one is the phone wants to be addictive. Whether you're on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or you're playing a game or you're on Google, there is a desire for them to get you to stay on the phone as long as possible. Why? Because if they're a subscription service, that means that you're going to renew the subscription at the end of the month, because I can't live without Netflix. I spend so much time on it, right? Or if they're ad supported, the longer you're on the phone, the more ads they can show you, the more money they can make. So people have literally hacked the dopamine centers of your brain. They test regularly, every second of every minute of every day, what their users are finding sticky. That's what the algorithm is. Give the people what they want so that they stay on the phone. It's a big part of the puzzle. So how do you fix this? How do you rebuild your relationship and get away from the screen and really have something that you could be proud of again? Set boundaries, right? Designate tech-free times, tech-free zones. Maybe there's no phones in the bedroom or no phones in the dining rooms. Or there are, you know, for 1 or 2 hours, you put the phones literally in a drawer on silent, not vibrate where the zzz against the, you know, wooden drawer is going to bother you. Literally silent, or turn it off, right? And have an hour. I promise you, unless you're a doctor or an EMT on call or a police officer on call or something like that, the world will stand still for an hour, right? It will survive without you. We're not as important as we'd like to think. I mean, I hate to break it to you, but we're just not. And even if I feel like I'm saving someone's marriage as a couples counselor, my wife reminds me, John, it can last an hour or two. You don't have to do it. The second one is to practice mindfulness. And that's a buzzword. Everybody says mindfulness and, you know, oh, are you being mindful? Are you meditating? Are you practicing mindfulness? Mindfulness means being present in the moment and just acknowledging without judgment where you are. So if you feel addicted to your phone, saying, I'm addicted to my phone. Okay, something I got to work on, that's fine. What can I do right now? I can put it aside. Be present in the moment, not, oh, if I don't answer it, this and this and this and this will happen. That's all future, right? Or I didn't answer it last time and it caused all these problems. Right? Again, that's in the past. In this moment, I can be with the person I love. I don't need to be on the phone. And then the last thing is to rediscover shared interests, shared activities you can do with your partner that don't use the phone. Board games, hiking, physical activity, even watching television, right, together where you put your phones away. How many times have you been with your wife, with your husband, and you're watching TV together, and during the show, you, one or both of you, take out your cell phones while you're watching the show, and you're doing this the whole night, right? It's horrible. And we're all guilty, myself included, right? You'll say, well, I don't really like the show anymore. Well, then say something. Let's pause the show and watch something else. You don't have to be beholden to something because you don't like it. Just change gears. The patience we have, the attentions we have is so small. It's so small today. And the phones are making it much, much, much worse. So you have to be very careful. I hope this was helpful for you. My name is Dr. John DeBock, and I will see you next time.